Good morning, everybody. This is Russell Brunson. I want to welcome you to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. Today, I am streaming from a little cabin in the middle of nowhere.
So the big question is this. How are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
Hey everyone, I hope you guys are doing amazing. If you listened to our last episode, you know that this last few days I've been on a top secret retreat with a whole bunch of amazing business owners, and it's been cool, but interesting. Some things that were amazing, things that were like weird that I learned about myself, some other things. And so I just want to kind of share with you some of this stuff, and hopefully as we get some benefit from it. So I'm actually right now sitting in the cabin. Everyone's leaving, packing up, and I've got probably 30 minutes or so before I've got to get out of here. But just was sitting here just contemplating on some of the stuff that I've learned and figured out over the last couple of days. So to begin with, I want to step back for those who don't know me very well. And so I'm like the least manly man ever. Like, I don't go hunting or hiking or fishing or like any man things. I'm not like, if my house breaks, I don't know how to fix things. Like, I don't know. I'm good at like one thing, that's like selling stuff and the marketing, selling it, which I love. But I'm not that good at other things, especially like things that are like typical man stuff. And so my one big fear on this trip is it's like a man trip. Like, it's like all these dudes, and we're doing like manly things, right? Like, we went fly fishing, and then we went hiking, and then we went and shot guns. And it's interesting what you learn about yourself, because like, I know that like I'm introverted by nature, and I just assume that at this point in my life, like, that I'm not. Especially around a group of people, you know, that are like in my same world. I'm like, oh, it's gonna be so much fun. But it's funny how, I don't know, it was tough for me a lot of times. Like, the introverted Russell kept popping out, and it was like, it was frustrating. Like, knowing that about myself, like, why do I feel so awkward in some of these situations that don't make sense? So for any of you guys who are like, who feel that sometimes, and you don't understand, like, or you're like, why do I feel awkward here? Why do I not feel comfortable? Like, it still happens to, even to me, even among my peer group, where it's just like, I don't know, it's just tough sometimes. So, but we probably got through it. And made some really good, you know, some great relationships, which is cool. But then the second part is like, okay, we're gonna go to these man things. And so the first thing was like, yesterday we went to go fly fishing, and incomplete. Some of you guys are gonna tease me forever. I'm sure I'll hear about this, when you meet me at the airport and other weird places that you guys bump into me at. But, so I went fishing once as a kid. And I got my own pole. My dad gave me my own pole for my birthday or something. And I had all this stuff. And I was out there. I was so excited. And I caught a fish. I still remember. It was a bluegill fish. I caught it. I was so excited. I did the whole, like, thrill of the catch. And you pull it in. And then I remember after we got in the boat, like, it died. Like, fish do when you catch them. And then I remember taking it home. And, like, I felt so bad. Like, I felt horrible. Like, I can't believe we killed this animal. And so we actually had a funeral for it. I legitimately had a huge funeral in our backyard. I made a little headstone for my bluegill fish. We called him, like, I think called him bluegill or bluey or something like that. I don't know. But we had a huge funeral for him because I felt so bad. And that was the last time I killed an animal. So I have these, like, weird, you know, little kid trauma stuff. So I'm here like, okay, we're going to teach you fly fishing. You're going to do this whole thing. You're going to rip the hook out of their mouth and all sorts of stuff. And so anyway, it's funny. We go down there and, you know, they get me all set up and teach me how to do the casting, which that part was kind of cool, you know, and trying to figure it out. And I'm like completely horrible at it, by far the worst of everybody here. And I'm trying to do the thing, trying to get the thing out there, and I'm getting the hook out, you know, and so I throw it out and the hook's out there. And what's interesting is I'm sitting there in the middle of nowhere next to this little pond. I'm like the only person there, and there's, you know, I'm casting this thing, trying to hopefully catch a fish. It was interesting because I'm noticing that, like, there's this hook on the end of my pole, and I'm throwing it in, and pull out, throw it in, pull it out, throw it out, pull. And I'm, like, doing this over and over and over, like, for, like, hundreds of times, like, casting in these hooks, trying to, like, catch a fish, right? And here comes the moral of the lesson for today. But I was looking at it, and I was like, this is so much like business, right? like you guys have heard me talk about the whole hook, story, offer framework, which is like the foundation of everything we're teaching nowadays. Is like you have created an irresistible offer, then you got to have a story that like amplifies the value of that offer, and then you have to have a hook that gets that stops them and grabs them, right? Like in our world right now, everyone's so busy through social media. There's a million things happening every second. It's just like, how do you grab someone, you know, pull them away from where they're at and like get them to focus for 5 seconds? Like that's the hook, right? I'm thinking about this, for me fishing, I'm throwing a hook in and another hook and another hook and another hook. And I'm trying to like to get these fish to like notice my hook and come and eat it, right? I'm doing it over and over and over again. And finally, I remember in the very first hole, all of a sudden the little bobby thing, I can't remember what it's called, boom, goes under the water. And I was like, oh my gosh, a fish took my hook, like it bit my hook. And I remember the first thought that went through my mind, and there's a moral to this too, but somebody grabbed on the line and the fish went under, or the little thingy went under, and I was like, oh no, I have a fish. And the first thing I had is I freaked out, and I was like, I hope that it gets away. Like, I don't want to catch this thing. I don't want to hurt this thing. I don't want it to like I just got so scared, and like, I was like praying, like fish, get away. Like, I don't want to pull you in. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to like hook your face with a hook. Like, what kind of person does that? You know, like freaking out, all these things, like all the emotions going through my head. I start pulling it in, and this fish is huge. Like, I think this is a 26 inch something. Like, it's a big fish. And I'm pulling this thing in and I'm reeling it in. And, the old man, comes down and he's trying to like hook, you know, scoop in the basket, and then the fish is flipping around, and it flipped out, and it like it fell out of the basket. We didn't get it. And I was like, oh dang, like but then partially kind of grateful, like, oh good, I didn't catch it. Like, I didn't have to deal with like the aftermath of catching a fish. And then like it was funny because like, hey, well, you know, start fishing again. I was like, do I really want to throw the hook back in? Like, I don't know. And but I'm like, everyone else is doing it, I don't want to like look like that guy. So I'm kind of like halfway throwing my hook in, and then we moved from like pond to pond to pond, and so I'm doing this thing, and you know, I think I caught two or three other little fish, and luckily we like let them go, which I was like, oh, thank heavens. So we caught them, let them go, and but I definitely was like the worst, like everyone, like Dean Graciosi's here, and he caught like, I don't know, like 30 fish or something. I think I caught like 1.5, so it's like way different, right? But I was looking at Dean, and he's out there, and he's throwing it in, out, he's like, send the hooks, and he's getting better as he's watching. First thing he knows, he's like, if I walk towards the water, the fish can see me, they freak out. So he'd like get low, and he'd like on his knees, and he'd like sneak over to the water, and then he'd throw his thing in, and then he'd see as the fish get closer. As soon as they'd open the mouth, he'd yank it out, and he was just like pulling fish after fish after fish. Like, it was crazy to watch. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, we all have the same tools, right? Like, we both have fishing poles, we have things, but like what are the things we're doing different, right? And so some of the lessons I was thinking through on this for us as business owners is like all of us are out there and we're throwing out hooks, right? And if our hook doesn't convince the fish that it's like a worm or a bug or a whatever, they're not going to come in and bite your line, right? I think a lot of times we some of us are trying this business, and you're putting out your first thing, and nobody bites, and you're like, oh, like, you know, internet marketing doesn't work. It's like, no, your hook didn't work, right? Like, you keep throwing hook in and after hook after hook after hook. Like, half of what I do in this business is like figuring out hooks to like grab people. Every email I send is a hook. Every Facebook Live is a hook. And I'm just like trying all these different hooks to see which things people respond to. And it's interesting because even me, like, tons of my hooks fail. Like, tons of the different messages I put out there do not resonate with people. They don't do anything with them. It's really fascinating. And the good news is that nobody knows when they fail because nobody sees them, because nobody we don't put much, you know, advertising dollars behind it, because the first hook didn't catch any fish, right? And so that's kind of the first lesson, is just like understanding it's just like catching fish. Like, you're standing on the bank and it's like, hey, I'm going to cast this thing 30, 40, 50 times before like I'm able to get a fish to believe that it's a bug, right? And same thing for you. Like, you got to cast out all these different messages and headlines and hooks and things until you find something that like somebody grabs onto. I remember Anthony DiClemente, when we launched the Biohacking Secrets book, like I had these ideas for the hooks I thought were going to be the best thing, and we had him start doing a Facebook Live every single day, and he did the first Facebook Live and it was like throwing a hook out and like crickets, right? Next Facebook Live, crickets, third one, fourth one, fifth one, sixth one, seventh. He kept tweaking and changing his messaging and trying different stories and different hooks and different things. I think it was like the 11th or the 17th, I can't remember, it was a number like that, like the hook was the right hook. And I think it was like how to biohack your vegetables, and that one went out there and it hit. It was like boom, and all these people started coming coming towards him. I think that the video ended up getting like a million views, and it was just crazy. But it was like the hook. It was like that was the hook that caught the fish, right? And so I think all of you guys need to stop freaking out about like making the perfect headline, crafting the message perfectly, and putting out there. And like, okay, I'm launching a webinar in a month from now. I've got 30 days to throw out 30 different hooks to find out which one's going to be the one that actually grabs people, right? And so that can be a Facebook Live every single day. It could be you set up an ad with like 20 different headlines and rotate it through to see which one gets the highest click-through rate. Like, there's a lot of really basic things you can do, but it's just testing things and like seeing what actually gets the fish to grab, right? Number two is, now that everyone's going to be, we're all fishing from the same pond. And if you look at it, it's like, how come Russell pulled out one fish and Dean pulled out like 30? Like, what was the difference? And it's like, well, Dean was like paying attention to like the market really close, right? He noticed every time he walked towards the pond, the fish would scatter, right? I think a lot of you guys try something and you're not like noticing what's happening, right? Like when I do Facebook Live, I'm watching like, what are people's reactions and comments? And did anybody share this one? And what were they saying? And what was happening? And I'm looking to see what the market's responding to. And if it's like, if I get a good response, or if I'm doing a Facebook Live and I say something, also like people start going crazy, I'm like, oh, interesting. Like, so I'm paying attention to what's happening and I'm taking mental note of that. So as I'm doing the next thing, I do it better. One of the really cool stories that, who was it told it around the campfire? One of the guys here told it around the campfire, but they're talking about how if you look at, stand-up comedy, right? Like a stand-up comedian doesn't just like one day show up on whatever Tonight Show and do his pitch and like just crush it, right? He said what happens is that they go and they play the small shows for like a year or 2 years, right? And they go for first place and they test all these jokes and they say, okay, you know, I did all these jokes and like 20% of them landed, that like people were going crazy. The other 80% are like, eh, okay. So then they take that, they then delete the 80% of the jokes that didn't land. Then they go to, they, you know, write some new jokes and they go to the next show. They do the same 20% that the people died for last time. So they perfect like how they deliver that message and they try out, you know, 80% new jokes. And from the 80% new jokes, maybe two or three land really good this time. So they take now the 20% before, the two or three new jokes. Now the next show, they use those 40% they know are good, and they test out new material, and they do it over and over and over again until eventually they've got all their jokes that just land perfectly hit. And then they come and when they go to, when they go on the Today Show or Tonight Show or whatever, I don't know, whatever the big comedy show is, they're up there and they tell it and like they just slay because every single joke they know lands because they've tested it over and over and over again. But it's not just like they show up and they just write this pitch and hope it's good. And the same thing should be true for you guys, right? Like when you're doing your webinars, like I look at now, like people are like, Russell, how'd your webinar crush it so well? And the reality is, you know, I've spent 10 years prior to me writing the ClickFunnels webinar or writing some of these webinars, and I've been speaking on the road, doing podcast interviews, doing teleseminar, doing my own podcast, doing all sorts of stuff. And all I'm doing is I'm testing my material, right? Just like a comedian would. I'm testing thing after thing after thing, and I'm seeing what lands, and I'm seeing what doesn't land, right? Like at Funnel Hacking Live last year, I did 6 presentations. My first presentation did not land, like as a whole. There are a couple pieces that did okay, but I do know that presentation didn't land. The second presentation I did, it crushed it. Like my Funnel Audibles presentation, for those who were there, that one, like that was the one of my presentations that people just, like that one nailed it. Like, so I know that message is like, boom. So I'm like, okay, Funnel Audibles, that's an important message. That's something I go deeper with. I got to create a bunch of really cool things around that because that one crushed it, right? But even within the framework of a presentation, like I'm telling stories, like which ones nailed, which ones crushed it, which ones didn't, and I'm tweaking that, right? So for any of you guys who are like, I'm going to go make a webinar today, and you go and you start creating it, if you haven't been doing this thing where we're standing on the side of the bank, throwing our hook in over and over and over and over again to see what jokes hit, which ones don't, you're going to struggle because you have no idea. And then you're going to do your best webinar, you're going to hope it's good, and you're going to spend all this Facebook ad money, you're going to do it, and then you go and you do it, and what happens? Like, it bombs. And it's like, well, you know, 20% of the jokes, 20% of your the stories, the things you did were right, the other 80% failed because like you put all your eggs in one basket. You had no idea, and that's why sometimes these things don't hit, right? And so for you, it's like starting today. That's why I tell people all the time. I did a 3-day Facebook Live after the Expert Secrets book launch, and the whole thing was about like finding your voice. And it was like, okay, do a Facebook Live every single day, and then you're watching it, you're seeing people react, and you say, okay, these stories resonated, these ones didn't resonate, this one did, this story, this joke, this idea, this concept, this false belief, this this Epiphany Bridge story, this kind of like bridge, like you're just testing it over and over and over again. In fact, the day before I left on this trip, the night before, I went to my buddy Chad Wollner. He's a chiropractor, and he was having a big chiropractor event at his office in Boise. And he asked if I'd come speak. And, you know, it was a group of like 20 people. And, you know, I normally charge a lot of money to speak. And it was funny. I love Chad. He's like, how much would it cost to have you come speak at my thing? And I kind of smiled. I was like, dude, I'll just come speak. He's like, no, I want to pay you. I'm like, you don't want to pay me what it would cost. But I was like, but it's worth it to me because, number one, you're a friend and it'd be fun to do that. But number two, like, I have some new material I want to test. Like, literally, that was it. So I did this presentation with him because I was trying to fill out this new material. Now, today I'm flying to Minneapolis to go speak at Dana Derrick's event. There's going to be 100 people there. And I'm giving a new presentation I've never done before that is actually the framework for the new Traffic Secrets book. And so I'm in the process of writing the book right now. In fact, someone asked me, like, how long does it take you to write a book? And I said, you know, about a year. And he said, it takes you a year to write a book? And I'm like, well, yes, but it's not like I'm writing for a year. So, for example, what's happening is, like, I'm speaking at Dana's, and I have the outline for my book. And I have a 2 hours time slot. So for 2 hours, I'm going to be teaching the framework for this, for my book. And I'm going to see what hits and what doesn't. Like, that's literally why I'm speaking at Dana's event. Because it's his topic. Well, number one, I love Dana. He's the man. But number two is, it's like his event, his event's called Dream 100 Con. So it's about Dream 100, which is like the foundation of Traffic Secrets. And so it's like, this is a perfect audience and opportunity for me at a small scale to test out my material. So I'm testing out the material here at Dream 100 Con, and I'm going to use it. And again, I'm teaching my entire book, like the whole framework. So I get a higher level of like, here's all the pieces, and like, and I'm going to feel how that felt. And then in 2 months from now, for my two Comic Club X members, I have a 2-day event where I'm teaching the framework for the Traffic Secrets book again. So this time, first one's 2 hours. I'm going to test the higher level material. Then this time I'm going to do the second one, which I'm going to have a chance to test all the, you know, all the material, every single section in depth, in detail, every story, every, like all the different pieces. And I'm going to feel like what works, what doesn't work. I'm going to cut things out, move things around. And then I'm going to start writing the book. Okay. The first two books, if you remember, if you've been following me for a while, when I wrote the .com Secrets book, we wrote the very first version of it, and I hated it. Like, I was just like, huh. And so I was like, I got to do something. So I literally threw an event. I was like, hey, in a month from now, I'm going to do an event. I'm going to teach this whole framework because it's not working. So we flew all these people in. I had about 100 people show up at this event in Boise, and I taught the .com Secrets principles in a 3-day event. And what was cool is, like, teaching it, I saw what material worked, what didn't work, and I was able to kind of, from that, make some tweaks and some changes. In fact, the day after the event, I sat down with Julie Easton, who was the main writer helping me with the .com Secrets book, and we spent like 4 hours at the event, and I was like, okay, this story sucked. Like, nobody got it. It didn't make sense. Like, this concept I taught, I had to teach this one first because it didn't make sense. We moved the outline around, and we spent like 4 or 5 hours like just rebuilding the outline, the framework, deleting stuff that didn't hit, keeping stuff in that did. And then that's when we wrote the second version, which then became the .com Secrets book. Same thing happened with Expert Secrets. I went initially and I wrote this book that I, you know, based off my head, and then I got it back and I'm reading it. I'm like, none of these jokes are landing, right? And so then what did I do? I threw a 2-day event, threw everyone in, and for 2 days I taught the Expert Secrets process. And same thing happened. I saw what landed, what didn't land. And then after that, the next day, went through, rebuilt the framework, and then started the book round two. And then boom, we got Expert Secrets. So for the third book, Traffic Secrets, I decided I'm just going to start with the event. So, but notice what I'm doing, right? I'm throwing hooks out on the side of the thing, just throwing hook, trying to see what things people resonate with, what things people are gravitating towards. So for you, I want you just thinking about that. Like, if you're writing your webinar pitch, you're doing your thing, and you haven't been throwing out hooks, like you're just guessing. You're writing your first version of your book, and you're getting it back, and it may suck. It may be awesome. It may have landed the first time, but you gotta go out on the road and, like, test your material. And you should be doing it through all these different means, doing it through podcast interviews. Like literally, if you, like, podcast interviews are one of the easiest things, right? Like, if you're an expert matter in any topic, go pull a Dream 100, go log into your log into iTunes, find every podcast on your topic, and then build out like a topic that you can be interviewed on, and message every single one, be like, hey, I love your podcast. You know, I talk about this. Can you want to interview me for your podcast? And go get 10 different podcast interviews. You can like test out your jokes, test out your framework, right? Test out your concepts and see what lands, see what doesn't. And then the same thing on Facebook Live, do it on your own page, do it on other people's page. Like, you're just testing out material the whole time so you can find out what lands and what doesn't land. Yeah, and that's it, you guys. So that was a big lesson I had just sitting here, and I hope that helps some of you guys. I know a lot of you guys have been scared or nervous or frustrated or whatever. But as soon as you know, like, what hits, right, you know, like, these are the jokes that hit. It's just like Dean on the side of the thing. Like, as soon as he figured out, like, okay, this is the hook, this is the process, that works, he sat there. I literally sat, there's, like, five different fishing holes we went to. We had, like, 20 minutes to each one. So the last fishing hole, he sat down. At that point, he had figured out the hook. He had figured out his approach. He had figured out all his material, nailed it, right? And he walked over. He snuck up to the side, started throwing in. He pulled out 12 fish. Boom, 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 boom. 12 fish in the same pond that I wasn't able to catch one, right? Because I'm just throwing my thing in and praying for the best. And part of me was so scared. I'm hoping that people aren't going to bite. And I think some of you guys have that same fear. Like, I was scared. I can't even tell you. It was weird. Like, as soon as that first fish bit that hook, I just wanted it to run away. And I'm sure the first time you guys do something and it hits, you're going to be like, oh. And, like, some of you guys are going to get freaked out by it. It's like, oh, my gosh. People responded. They, you know, they asked me questions. Like, and and maybe it's something you did that made you vulnerable, and also, like, you're vulnerable, and, like, someone comes and says something, and, like, it's, anyway, there's a lot of magic to that. So, all right. And just, by the way, BTW, I'm 20 minutes in this podcast episode, right? And what was I doing today? I was testing material. I told you guys a story about fishing and the hook and how it worked and the comedian. And, like, I was just testing this material. First time I ever vocally shared it was right now. Okay, and some of the pieces felt really good to me, and I'm going to watch over the next little bit after this podcast episode goes live. I always know there's, like, people respond different ways, and some podcast episodes nobody responds. Other ones I see things people talking about, people message me or things like that, and I'm just feeling it, and I'm feeling, like, what one's nailed, which one's hit, which one's didn't hit. And so this, like, literally the Marketing Secrets podcast, you know, if I'm completely honest, 90% of the reason why I do it is because I'm testing new material. Every single day I have a chance to test some more new material. Yeah, I think there were some cool things that came from it, right? The podcast I did a year and a half ago, the one I did for Nick Fitzgerald, where I talked about the entrepreneur, the technician, and the rainmaker. Like, that was I'd never talked about it before. I never shared that. I pulled a podcast, did an hour-long episode on it, and that's going to be probably one of the chapters in the New Traffic Seekers book. So I was like, man, that nailed it. Like, that resonated with so many people back then. Like, that's going to become now some material I'm going to use in the future. So make sure you're using these publishing platforms. Even if everyone's listening to you, like, just do it, because it's a place to test your material. And it's not always external feedback. It's not like you guys responding to me like, that was a good story, Russell. I'm like, cool, I'm going to remember that. Like, you can feel it when you explain something. The first time you explain, it's always going to be the worst, too. So, like, I told this story. It may come up in my presentation tomorrow at Dana's event. Like, it totally could. And I might tell it a little bit differently, and I'm going to tweak some things. Like, I know at Chad Woolner's event, I talked about Hook's story offer, and I talked about the framework, and I know that the way I did the offer, the way I explained that, I did not nail it. Like, it was confusing and kind of clunky. The way I did story, I felt good, and the way I did Hook, I felt really good. And so, like, I was like, okay, cool, I learned some things. So next time I teach offer, I'm definitely going to make some changes based on how I felt giving that presentation. So, anyway, hope helps, guys. It's time to start throwing some hooks. It's time to start testing your material. And I think if you do that, you're going to have a lot of fun. So, all right, I got to bounce. I got to get everything packed up and get out of here so they don't leave me. Because if I miss the helicopter flying me back to the airport, then I'm screwed. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you all. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you soon.
Would you like to see behind the scenes of what we're actually doing each day to grow our company? If so, then go subscribe to our free behind-the-scenes reality TV show at www.funnelhacker.tv.